For those of you that don't know, my name is Sharon. If there's any visitors in, I am the pastoral coordinator here at Bromham Baptist Church and also work for a charity, Home for Good, which I'm going to talk more on in a while. But that is my job here, and I get the privilege to speak with you this morning. It is Mothering Sunday, so happy Mother's Day to all you mummies out there and mother figures. I hope that you got a lie in this morning, breakfast in bed, and the hour deduction to our life didn't affect anybody this morning. Can you believe it? So, yes, as if timing couldn't be any worse, but that's fine. We'll go with it. We'll sleep this afternoon or something. Dads or anyone around, if you're doing the dinner, please let Mum sleep for an hour extra this morning. It reminded me, opening my cards this morning, of when Olivia was four, Charlotte was two, and Will had taken them to choose a card for me to open on Mothering Sunday. And so Olivia had written this card in her best handwriting and passed it to me. And as I opened it and read it, it said, "For someone who's just like a mum to me." I don't know. I imagine the scenario of this chaotic card shop and Olivia just choosing one, and we'll go, "Yep, that's the one," and quickly running out the shop. So I kept it, and we always laugh about that. But it's a good reminder of those who are just like a mum to us this morning. We understand that Mothering Sunday is an amazing for everyone. We haven't all had maybe a loving family or a loving home, but we have all had people who are somebody who's been just like a mum to us. So we're going to really focus on that this morning. As I say, I work for a charity called Home for Good, and I've been working for this charity for 6 months now, just getting to grips with everything that entails and speaking at different places. But it's a Christian charity that is seeking to find a loving and caring home for every child that needs one in the UK. My job is a project worker, so I get to work in the four shires around this area, and I have the privilege of going to different churches and just sharing God's heart for the vulnerable with those people through different things. Would you like me to switch to the handheld mic, or are you okay? Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to, first of all, just look at a really short clip, which I was going to take out this morning, but I've embedded it into my talk, so we're going to listen to it and watch it anyway. So the first one would be great. Thank you, Simon. Yeah, lovely. DVDs that I would show when I'm speaking, just to show really the situation in the UK and things that are happening all across the world, but particularly we're focusing in the UK because of my job, of children through no fault of their own and through no fault of parents in so many ways, but where birth children are needing to be removed from birth families and placed in care within the UK. We believe at Home for Good, as a Christian charity, that God has a heart for the vulnerable, and so as a church, we have almost an obligation to help in this situation. But first of all, we're going to just stay on that first slide, if that's okay, Simon. Otherwise, you'll give... No, that, the one that you were on. Otherwise, you'll give the answers away. But I wondered on your tables whether you would just spend a few minutes or 2 minutes just looking over these and coming up. Now, there were some statistics at the end of the DVD that may have helped if you were paying attention. But stats have changed since this DVD was made, so it will be slightly different. But just 2 minutes just to chat on your tables or not. I feel like this is the box seat area here. Yeah.
Thank you.
to a slight close. Right, so looking at the bit of help that you had at the beginning, we'll press one at a time, Simon, if that's okay. So, how many children, oh well, don't press it just yet, but we've given you the answer to that one, so that's good. How many children come into care in the UK each year? And as we've just found out, 40,000 children this year will come into care in the UK. Fostering services need to recruit. Can anyone give me a guess at how many new carers this year to meet the need? 6,000. You were paying attention to say that. 6,000. It's actually, we'll go for 8,100 statistics put up, that due to lots of foster carers retiring and the needs obviously becoming bigger, that 8,100 new foster carers are needed just this year to meet the need. So according to most recent figures, almost how many children are waiting just for adoption? Okay, that's good. It's less than that, so that's always good. The figure is, Simon, thank you, 3,000 children are currently waiting just for adoption. And what percentage of children have been waiting for more than 18 months, do we think, children in care?
18.
Thank you. Somebody who give one. It's actually 41% of children that are in care deciding on what will happen next to them have been in that situation for more than 18 months. That statistic has just moved from 27% that we've been sharing up to 41%. So a dramatic increase in children that know they're old enough to know that they are in care and waiting for a forever family, and yet they have been waiting for more than 18 months. I wonder how the statistics make us feel. I'm sure probably a little bit shocked. I'm sure a little bit uncertain of what happens with these children. If we could go on to the next slide, please. My family and I were in London about 3 weeks ago celebrating my sister-in-law's birthday. And we went to the O2 Arena just to have a look. Beautiful building. It was lovely. And while we were there, I was Googling. We like to Google and find out a bit about it. And recognised that the O2 Arena seats 20,000 people. And so when I thought and put that into terms of my job, that the amount of children coming into care this year won't seat the O2 Arena once over, but twice over, which is quite shocking. Children are waiting to be fostered and adopted. So on this Mothering Sunday, as lovely a day as it is, and it's amazing, we recognise that there is also a need within the UK. But don't worry, the church can do something about it. Going on, my mother was born in 1954. She was born one of four siblings. There were two boys and two girls. And her birth mother kept her just for a few months, but then decided she no longer could deal with four children. And so gave two children up for adoption, my mum and one of her brothers. And they both went into care. It was done very differently back in 1954, that it was just an acquaintance of a friend took my mum in. But praise God, it was a great story and a great situation, because when speaking to my mum about her upbringing, she tells me that she felt loved and cared for. She tells me that Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, my grandparents, who adopted her, loved her. They made her feel part of the family and gave her opportunity. They also fostered three boys who were evacuees from the World War II. And so my uncle, who's no longer with us, got to share many stories of Mr. and Mrs. Johnson and their hearts. You know, they had such a lovely heart for the vulnerable and for my mum. She met up with the rest of her birth family years later on the family tree. They found each other. And really sadly, those two siblings that had stayed with birth mum had had a really chaotic life. It hadn't been a good situation for them. That my mum really felt a blessing that somebody had taken her into her home, and how her life could have been very different had she had stayed with birth mum. So we look at the heart of the vulnerable. You know, this Mr. and Mrs. Johnson took in my mum and three brothers previously, and how they created such a joy for their life and my mum, who she became. They were really had a heart for the vulnerable. And I believe that we see in the Bible so many times that God also has a heart for the vulnerable. We can read it almost anywhere. But today the passage I'd like us to look at is in Romans 12 and verse 10 to 13. And it should come up. Brilliant. Thank you. We can just look. And it says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And that last one really gets me, the hospitality. There are 11 characteristics that we read that Paul has written about there, and I believe they're all characteristics that are to help further God's family. I don't believe that church happened by accident. I don't believe that we're meant to do life on our own. There's a TV show called Hunted, which my husband really likes, so I watch it with him. And it's about couples that apply to a TV show and you go on the run in the UK. And if you can run for 26 days and not be captured, then you get a sum of money. I can't remember what it is now. But we have people going off-grid. It's great that up mountains, lots of people just head to Scotland. I don't know why, that's just the first place they go. Everyone goes to Scotland. But we have these detectives and ex-police that are looking for them and trying to capture them. And they all do a really good job. They manage to get away. If you've ever seen it, I don't know if anyone has, they manage to get away, but they're fine for the first week or two. And then it'll get to about day 14 and they want family. They miss family, they miss home. It's hard, they haven't eaten properly or slept properly, and so they want to make contact with home. And it's the biggest letdown ever, because they all get caught. They all try and meet in a secluded location and phone people, and they get caught. And I think, come on, just another, 14 days and you've done it. But they don't, because we know that there's that thing inside of us where family is really important. And I believe that God has given us church family for that need as well. We've not all had an amazing, loving family. Some of us have. Some of us can remember the embrace of a lovely grandmother or somebody as we think about Mothering Sunday. But I believe God made the church and church family to really create that need and fill the gap where it can. So Paul does display, it's a set of instructions for us to follow, these 11 characteristics that we are to be devoted to one another, love one another, and pray for one another, have a zeal, and don't lack in our spiritual fervour. It can be messy sometimes to step out and help someone and input into their lives. It's hard sometimes to love somebody when they're not the most lovable of people, or when they don't give anything back. It can be really hard, and we know that. And the way the world see things and the way the family of God see things are very different from this point. Sometimes in the world we only find that people, if they get a return, they will give out what they can. But in the family of God, we turn it on its head. We choose to give out first. We choose to love. We choose to honour. We choose to bless and zeal. And I believe Paul, in writing that, isn't just saying, just give out and bless others. But I believe in blessing others and stepping out, we also bless ourselves. We also receive the blessing. I remember two ladies from my church that really invested in me as I was growing up. I was an 11-year-old. I hadn't been into church before. And I see our 11-year-olds now and I think of me back then and what I was like. I hadn't got a clue. I had this Bible. I didn't know where to start with this Bible. And I was definitely, I still am, a highlighter Christian. Have you ever heard of that phrase where you get a Bible and a highlighter and we go through and highlight all those warm, fuzzy parts, like all the parts that make us feel nice, oh yeah, that's nice, yeah, that's for me, yeah, I'll do that. And then we may come to a part that we don't like so much, because that means we may have to do something, so we could skip that part and highlight underneath. So I'm a definite highlighter Christian, but ever seeing the wisdom and that from it. But I believe that Paul is displaying beautifully in these 11 characteristics here that we can see how we should be with one another. We set one another up to win in church, in our church family. We help where we can. And I'm sure as I'm talking that you may be able to think of 1 to 10 women, as we're thinking about Mother's Day, who have invested in you in some way. Maybe a teacher saw you struggling when you were growing up and believed in you and helped you. Maybe a church or youth leader, scout leader, somebody persevered with you through a difficult situation. I wonder, we all haven't had perfect lives and neither will we continue to, but I wonder who you are thinking of in your head that has possibly stepped in and helped you when you've needed that. Now, we are going to watch another clip. I'm sorry for two clips, that's why I was going to take the other one out. But this is one that we have created for Mothering Sunday, and so it would just be great. These are people in care that have Because of You moments. You'll see Because of You cards on your table. So we'll watch this first.
Gila is my mum's friend at church. She taught me to swim before my school trip so I wouldn't be left out.
Karis is my support worker and she helps me communicate. She stands up for me to make sure I get what I need.
I meet up with Becca every month. We just chat and it really helps.
One day when I was feeling angry, I bashed my face against the wall. A neighbour Karen came to mend it without making it a big deal.
Mum and Dad adopted over Ava, so I wasn't separated from my sisters. And when I still feel that I need to look after them, Mum helps me understand and gives me special time to be myself.
My youth worker Kate listened to me and helped me tell my parents what was happening.
Tessa is a teacher in my church. Over the summer, she spent lots of time with me, helping me with my letters and numbers.
Mom has always been there for me, and I've never felt different to my brothers, who are her birth children.
Day can be difficult for many of us for a variety of reasons, but especially for young people in care. It can be a painful reminder of relationships lost or parents that they never knew. It can be a painful reminder of relationships that are difficult and strained, but it can also be an opportunity for them to be thankful for the many women in their lives who have nurtured them and cared for them in the way that Paul writes about. You could be one of those women. Could a young person or a vulnerable child experience the love of God and the radical hospitality that the Bible talks about in your church? I'm here today because people like you cared for me. You could be part of someone else's story starting today.
I really wanted to put that DVD in just to show the different ways that people can help step up and support. And in that DVD, we see many different ones, from just taking somebody swimming and stepping and investing into these people to help give them a step up in life. So on your tables, you do have these Because of You cards and some pens. And if you want to, you don't need to, you can just take the card with you. But you can write down those people that maybe made a difference to you. And you can thank God for them today. Thank God for those people, whomever they were, whomever they are. And if they're still here and around, let them know that you're thankful and grateful for them. I did that a couple of years ago with the two ladies after somebody had preached here. I think it was Joy, 2 years ago. And I remember Joy saying the same. You know, go and thank them, because it's really important that they know that their work and investment actually really did make a difference. There's five women, just really quickly, that I would like to just go over. We won't look too much, but they were women who weren't mothers in the Bible to these people, apart from the first one. Most of them were motherly figures who stepped in and helped. But we'll see that there's a significance in all of them. So the first one is a mother. Lois and Eunice, who were Timothy's mother and grandmother. And it says, just in Timothy, it's really short, but just how God, how they really imparted their faith, God, into Timothy. And because of that, Timothy had that strong faith, that real train a child up in the way that they should go. So Lois and Eunice, we're thankful to God for them, for pouring their faith into Timothy. Pharaoh's daughter, for bringing Moses out of the basket. You know, at the time, she didn't need to. He could have been killed, he could have been taken, but actually
God had a better plan, but she took this baby from the reed and decided that she would keep this baby. And we know how the story goes, that it was actually Moses' mother that was able to nurse and bring him up. Deborah was another one when I was looking through this that I found. Deborah was leading Israel and listening to the people and just bringing a peace about the situation. And that was so needed at that time. And Deborah was really used by God. Lydia also provided hospitality to Paul and Silas when they were released from prison. I don't think they stayed for long from the account, what we can see, but they went to her house after prison, refreshed, got ready before they continued their journey. And Huldah, the prophet, who I didn't realise until I was Googling, looking up at this, but she gave a prophetic advice to King Josiah. Said, look, this is what God says, that he will actually come and destroy Israel because of the way you are living. And she gave this prophetic, this wisdom, this advice. And sometimes we need to have people in our lives that give us that wisdom, that prophetic advice. We need to hear that. We know that not all of these are birth family, but they all made a big difference to those people there in the Bible. And I know that we can also look and make a difference to those in and around us. I know that there are many people here that we can invest in within church. And I wonder, as we are thankful for those people who have invested in us over the years, whether we can now think of someone or some people that we can now also invest in. And this can be in many different ways. This can be a text every so often. It could be a coffee. It could be a meal. It could be Bible study together. There are many ways that we can help build one another up. But we are the church of God. We are God's family, and we are here for one another. And I think that's really important that we know this morning that no matter who you are, when you are in God's family, that you are blessed and that we care and love one another as God demonstrated through Jesus. So I love working for Home for Good because I get to go around and have the privilege to share statistics, but then see people take on the challenge, as it were. Now, it really is a challenge. So this morning when I talk about my job, I'm not asking everybody if they have spare rooms and if you can foster and adopt. I live in the real world, and the reality says that it is a difficult job. Children who are in care have experienced trauma and attachment disorder. And so we have damaged children, if you like, in the care system. So it's not easy. It's not a baby coming into your home and taking that. So I would say that it would be wonderful if anybody here felt that they could look into fostering and adoption. But that's not really the main reason why I'm here, just to get you to look and think of that. There are four groups of children we class as harder to place. I don't even like using the phrase, harder to place children in the UK. But if you're born of black ethnic minority, you are already a harder to place child. You will stay in care longer than a white child, which is heartbreaking. Any child over the age of four is now deemed to be harder to place because they're not that lovely blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby that people are hoping for. Sibling groups. We saw on that video how that sibling group got to stay together, and that's really important. We have a real need for sibling groups being able to stay together. Children that have been removed from birth homes and then needing to be split from siblings is just simply heartbreaking when the best thing for them is to stay together. So there's also a need for sibling groups. And children with additional needs. If you are born with an additional need, you are harder to place instantly. I got to spend the morning with a lady and her adopted boy 2 weeks ago who has cerebral palsy. And he was such a joy and a delight, and he was teaching me signing. I didn't know how to sign at all. In fact, I was asking Amelia afterwards about a course. But it was such a special morning for me and really stood out. And I couldn't see how this wonderful creation could be a harder to place child. But you know, we are called in the Bible to help. In James 1 verse 27, we are called to be God's hands and feet, that we love God and that we can help do his work here on earth. And I believe vulnerable children, orphans and widows, are part of this group. We don't tend to use the word orphan anymore in the UK because children do have birth family, They are not orphans, they have just been removed from birth family, so they're children in care. But yeah, I wonder, as I sum up this morning, that was a lot quicker than I thought, and I do apologise, but there's three things that we can look at when coming into church. And it's great if we come and we don't have the capacity to do any more. We come, listen, and go again. That's fine. But actually, it's not a short-term fix for God's church and God's family. So I wonder whether we can consider this morning who we could invest in, who we can set up and support and help. I know many of us do already. I know I'm preaching to the converted for many. I get to be the pastoral coordinator here. I see God's love in action happening on a day-to-day basis, and it's really lovely to be able to see that. But there's always maybe a little extra that God is asking us to do, and we won't know that unless we ask him. I've also put some count me in cards on your tables, which just you can read those, and I'll be at a stand in the welcome area afterwards. But it's just looking at whether you can stand up to support, pray and care for Home for Good. We're a Christian charity. We seek to have project workers all around the UK so that we can make God's heart for the vulnerable known throughout. We have a political advocacy team working with MPs, trying to change what's on the agenda, really, for different areas. Bedfordshire, at the moment, in central beds, just here, there's 312 children on the looked after register here. And so my job as part of project worker is to see a change in that number. So will you be able to stand not only with Home for Good this morning, but as part of God's family, to invest in someone, invest your time, invest your service? It's not all financial. That's the good thing about being in church, that we can invest our giftings. God has given us all a gift, and some of that is the gift of hospitality. And so we can accept people into our homes, friends into our homes. And we can also support those who foster and adopt. We know people within the church that do that, and people within the local area. I know one family in this church take a little person who's adopted, take the dog out for a walk once a week. And that's just an hour of breath and fresh air for carers, and it's a runoff and tiring out little legs. That's a good way of supporting, is just those short snippets of helping. And it's just practical ways. There is a church in Worcester that when you go to their church coffee shop, if you are a foster carer or an adoptive parent, they will do your ironing in the back room whilst you have your tea and coffee. They've bought two industrial irons. I mean, that's worth it, surely. No. I'm tempted myself there. But yes, they have two industrial irons just because they saw a need and thought, what can we do as church to help? And they felt that was a way that they could help. So there are many different ways, and you will probably have more ideas than I do on this. But as we look at the characteristics that were in that Bible verse, I pray this morning that we would be devoted to one another, that we would love one another above ourselves, that we would honour one another, that we would care for one another. And as we do that, not only would we give out blessing, but we would also be a blessing. Going to ask Andrew if the band would slowly come this way, and would somebody go to the back hall, please? Oh, John Creese is going. Somebody race him. That's it. The children are going to come back now and give you a surprise if you're a mother or motherly figure here. But as they do, yeah, or you could sneak one, it's up to you. But I just really want to just finish off with a prayer whilst the children are coming back, just that we would hear God's word this morning. So Father, I do thank you. I thank you that you have a heart for the vulnerable. I thank you that you have a heart for us, your church family, that you care for us, and that you have put people in our path over the years that have invested in us, that have helped us to be where we are today. And I pray that we would use that investment as we have overflowed with love for you, that we would then be able to pour into those around us. So we do thank you, Lord, for your love on this Mothering Sunday. Amen. Amen. Okay, children.